Well, good morning to all of you. It's a pleasure for my wife and I to have the privilege of being here today. We were in St. Louis quite a number of years ago at services. Actually, I think the services were held over in Belleville. And according to my records, it was April 30th, 1968. Probably some of you weren't there at that particular service, but I think it included not only the St. Louis Church, but also the Belleville Church at that particular time. I was thinking that we had been in St. Louis for service at another occasion, but I couldn't find any record of it. And since my memory is rather short, I couldn't be sure about it. But at least we have been in the area before, even though it's been quite some time ago. So to most of you, I suppose that we are strangers, unless you might have seen us at Big Sandy at one of the feasts, or at the Dells, or at the Ozarks, or probably not Tucson. Some of you might have been to Tucson at one time or another. You might wonder why we are here. We have had the privilege over the last several months of visiting quite a number of the churches. This has been since August, and today we will be visiting the 29th and 30th churches in this particular part of the country. Mr. Armstrong has asked us to visit the churches in this particular area, but to continue to live in Pasadena. And so our normal routine is to leave on Thursday or Friday, go out to a church area, visit with the ministers, the elders, deacons, and wives, visit with the churches, speak at the churches, and then return on Sunday or Monday. Sometimes we've stayed out a longer period of time for a couple of weekends. But normally we're back in Pasadena during the middle part of the week. And most of the time we are in the Atlantic or the Eastern time zone, which is 3 hours difference, of course, from Pasadena. They say that when you cross these sort of imaginary time zones, that each hour you pass, after you arrive, it takes you one day to sort of get back to normal. So we go for 3 days approximately, and so when we just get straightened around, then we go back to Pasadena, then it takes 3 days to get straightened out again. So usually on Wednesday, we're sort of straightened out. The rest of the week, we're sort of mixed up as when we should sleep and when we should eat and when we shouldn't do those things. Well, I make it sound maybe a little worse than it really is, but it is a factor and does keep us a little off our normal equilibrium. We have been visiting quite a bit of late in the Ohio area, and also 2 weeks ago we were in the Peoria and also the Macomb area. And God willing, next time we'll be in Columbus, Ohio, next Sabbath. And we'll be visiting in the Belleville, Mount Vernon area next month, about the middle of next month sometime, if the present schedule holds out anyway. So we have been visiting the churches, and that's why we're here. I hope that we'll be able to tell you a little bit about Pasadena and Mr. Armstrong and some of the things that are going on in the work in a more personal way than maybe just reading about it, even though you'll be reading about some of the things that I'll be talking about as well. We've just completed a couple very eventful weeks at Pasadena, and it started out, I guess, not quite 2 weeks ago on January 1st with the Rose Parade. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Rose Parade. It was on national television and normally is. And at that particular occasion, there are approximately 2 million people, at least some estimates say 2 million, others say that that's exaggerated, but at least an awful lot of people, and a lot of them just right around the campus, because that's where this very famous Rose Parade starts, right adjoining the campus on Orange Grove Avenue. This gives the Southland, that's the Southland of California, churches, opportunities to make a little income for their church activities. And so I think an awful lot of people from the various Los Angeles area churches spent the night working and the early part of the day, the first part of the day on the first, doing all kinds of work such as ushering for the various bleachers where people sit to watch this Rose Parade, parking cars, the thousands, hundreds of thousands of cars, manning snack booths around the city, and doing various other things. And unless you've seen the Rose Parade in person, I'm sure you don't fully understand what it's like. What you see on television, of course, does not give you the full picture. Now, the first this year was on a Tuesday, and on Sunday, or earlier, I don't know, the first I noticed was on Sunday, we went out to look along the parade route, and people were already camped out waiting for the parade on Tuesday. Now, this was illegal. They weren't supposed to be there until the next day at noon, and so the police would come in and confiscate their belongings, whatever they had, and tell them to get off the parking strip or the sidewalk. And I understand that they had about three echelons of people, a lot of them did anyway. And so when the police would move one group off, then their buddies would come in and take possession of that little plot of ground. And then the police would come and get them and move them off, and then the third echelon would come. And then when it came time for the fourth go-around, well, then the first people came back so that they were able to stake out their particular little area and stay there night and day until the parade started. And that's how they and their friends, I guess, were able to get free seats, if you'd call it free, there right on the parade. It's an incredible sight, at least I've always thought it was. And when I saw some of our people there for the first time, I said, well, you never saw anything like this before, did you? And, of course, they said, no, you know, this is just crazy. So if you ever have a chance to be there for the Rose Parade, the real parade starts before that, the night before, or maybe two nights before that. And that's the most interesting part, I've always thought. So that was January 1st. Then a couple days later, on the 3rd, on Thursday, at the auditorium in Pasadena, we had the taping of the Bob Hope special. Probably you haven't heard much about that, but you may be reading about it or seeing it on television January 21st, because that's when it will be nationally viewed. I think it's on NBC. I don't know the hour. I guess that would vary from area to area, but you may want to see that on January 21st, because it was taped there at the auditorium in Pasadena. Bob Hope had with him as his guests B. Arthur, Shirley Jones, Debbie Boone, and Diane Carroll. It took about 3 hours, I think, to tape this particular show, which will be shown in just an hour's time. And all of it, of course, will not be shown, particularly parts of Mr. Hope's monologue, which I think took about 21 minutes. They'll cut that down to about 8 minutes. Then the next night, Friday night the 4th, during the Bible study period at Pasadena, we were shown for the first time the one-hour documentary about the invasion and takeover of the church by the Attorney General and his officers and so forth in California. And of course, you've been hearing an awful lot about that over the past year, and this was practically on the anniversary of that particular takeover. Actually, I think it was just one day off from that. I think the original invasion was on the 3rd, and so this was on the 4th, Friday night. This is going to be shown starting in California, January the 15th, over Southern California Television. I can't remember which station. I think it's Channel 13. And then hopefully in due time it can be shown in many other areas around the United States, and then maybe by either cassette tape or by film in various churches around the world. And this is a very interesting, engrossing, and very informative documentary of what has happened. Then the next day, which was just a week ago, on Sabbath, we were able to see at Pasadena Mr. Herbert Armstrong by microwave video hookup. And we were able to see him on the screen there in Pasadena, California, at the various places where people were gathered on campus. Now, this is a hookup to Tucson, to Mr. Armstrong's home. And Mr. Armstrong gave the sermon, which was, I think, about an hour, maybe just a little bit short of an hour. And I understand that the audio portion of that will be sent out to the various churches, so you may be able to hear it here in the local area as well. I might say that there were 5,200 people on campus that particular Sabbath, last Sabbath, and they were meeting in practically all of the auditoriums and assembly halls on campus. Of course, the main group being in the auditorium, but not the largest. Both college and high school gymnasium, I think there were about 1,400 in one of the gymnasiums, and also the student center, two large lecture halls in the class area, and also at the recital hall. So all told, there were 5,200 people there to see and to hear Mr. Armstrong by this microwave video hookup. At the same time, there was a telephone hookup to quite a number of churches around the United States and Canada. In fact, there were 22 different hookups like that, so that about 8,000 or 9,000 additional people were able to hear Mr. Armstrong live. So this means that between 13,000 and 14,000 people were able to hear Mr. Armstrong speaking live last Sabbath in various places around the world, around the United States and also Canada, as I mentioned. In Pittsburgh, I think they had, it seems to be, seven churches gathered together in one location to hear Mr. Armstrong on this hookup. I don't know of any other places where they had a larger number of churches together. So that was last Sabbath, and then Sunday night, this past Sunday night, there was a church dance. This was sort of in, I was going to say in honor of, maybe that's not the right term. In memory of, maybe that's nearer the term, but anyway, the takeover of the state just practically 1 year previous to that. But anyway, a church dance at the famous Hollywood Palladium. Probably you have seen maybe various programs from the Hollywood Palladium. That was quite famous back in World War II, as I recall, and a lot of the famous bands played there back during that time, and I guess even still, there are some famous bands that play there. But we had people from the Southern California churches, as far away, at least from my personal knowledge, from the Bay Area, Fresno, Tucson, Phoenix, and where else I don't know, but we had over 3,000, I think it was over 3,200 people at that particular occasion. And it was a very happy occasion. People seemed to really be enjoying it. And in all of these activities that I've just mentioned, at least those involving the church, the people seemed very, very happy, and it seemed like, as some said, like old times, because there was certainly, obviously, a great deal of love and affection and joy that was expressed in these various occasions. That was last Sunday night. Then Thursday, this past Thursday, day before yesterday, I had the opportunity and privilege of visiting, along with several others, with Mr. Armstrong in Tucson. I might mention that the previous day, Wednesday, he had received a large group of ministers, well, large, I think, is 11 sabbatical ministers who have completed their sabbatical program now, who will be going out to field assignments. And so he visited with them for 2 or 3 hours on Wednesday afternoon, along with some other ministers who were there for other matters, to talk to Mr. Armstrong. Then this coming week, there will be another group of sabbatical ministers, so I think that all 20, more or less, however many there are, the sabbatical ministers will have an opportunity to visit with Mr. Armstrong before they go out to the field. Well, on Thursday, there were 5 evangelists there, plus the managing editor of the Plain Truth, Good News, and Worldwide News, plus the dean of students, and various others. And we were there for, among other things, a very special occasion, the ordaining of another evangelist. I think this makes number 19 of the evangelists that we have in the church. And I'm sure that many of you know of this particular man, and I would think you'd be very pleased to hear that Mr. Harold L. Jackson, our first Negro evangelist. And it was very exciting and very pleasurable for us to have a part and to be able to be there for that particular ordination. Mrs. Jackson was also with Mr. Jackson, and now Mr. Jackson's duties may be changed somewhat. I think he may be visiting the churches in certain parts of the United States and also abroad, traveling maybe a little bit more than he has been in the past. He has been working in Africa, in Black Africa, and I think they are presently or have been living in Kenya. But probably that will be modified or changed somewhat. And I'm sure that all of you old-timers know Mr. Jackson. Maybe he's a stranger to some of you. Then also, at the same time, Mr. Armstrong ordained a man who had been a preaching elder for quite a number of years as a pastor. This particular man has been in the church for many years. I don't remember exactly when he first came in the church, but it was, I think, in the early 50s, if I recall correctly. And he spent quite a bit of time in your area here. And so I think that many of you will be pleased to know that Mr. Frank McCready, Jr., is now a pastor, a ranked minister in the Church of God. He had his wife with him also, his new wife, who comes from this general area. And then yesterday flew back to New York. Mr. Armstrong commented at some length about the world situation, and he believes now that things on the world scene are going to begin to move very fast. And he thinks that time is not going to be delayed any longer, that things are going to, you know, really start to move on the world scene. Mr. Armstrong discussed with Mr. Raymond McNair, who was there, various things relating to the college, the 1980 envoy, new classes that are going to be added at the college in Pasadena, and various other matters. Now, they have been working for some weeks now, actually, I suppose, the big part of 2 months, constructing various facilities, including a radio and television studio for Mr. Armstrong at his home. And these are well underway. I don't know exactly when they'll be completed, but Mr. Armstrong is expecting and hoping to make five